Good morning, friends. I love the Bible. Yeah, it's just like just fun. It's just a gift. I always tell people I physically feel better when I have it. Just like get endorphins or something. I love what Don was saying about that verse, Galatians 5. It is for freedom that you have been set free. I want to even just pause here because I love the Bible, and because of the way God's made my mind, I have to love the Bible in a really simple way. I don't have a big thinker. You know what I'm saying? I got a simple thinker. And I used to feel silly about that. I used to feel insecure about that. And God has just said, listen, just say the simple things over and over again until people do them. Just say the simple things over and over again until you understand them. That's it. The gospel is simple. But that passage, it is for freedom that you have been set free. I because of the way my mind works, I would read that one verse over and over again, and I could not get it. I was like, and which is fair. We should shake our heads anytime something doesn't super make sense. But I was like, that's like saying it is for bagels that bagels. Like, it is for trampolines that trampolines. It is for chairs that chairs. I was like, it doesn't make sense to me. I couldn't grasp it until finally, one day God was like, hey, put something else in it that it's not. So say, for example, it is not for other people's freedom that you have been set free. It is not for the approval of other people that you've been set free. It's not for the comfort of other people that you've been set free. It is not so that you will be more useful so that you've been set free. It's just because God loves you and he loves that you're free. And he gave his son so that it would be that way. He just likes when you're free. It brings him glory. And so especially as we dive into his word this morning, and especially as we drive down the mountain, I want to hand that to you as a reminder. Everything God has done for you, in you, through you, everything you have noticed this weekend, he did it all for you. Because he loves you, not to make you better. Not so you'd be more productive, not so you'd be a better mom, not so you'd be a better sister or friend. He just loves you and he likes you, which is even better maybe than loving you. And he wants good stuff for you, like freedom. Hey, thanks for letting me be with y'all this weekend. I want to just say that on the front end. Thank you for letting me be with y'all. I am so grateful. Thanks for letting a kooky little South Carolina gal come and kick it. I want to just say I feel mountainy. I feel like I'm doing the thing. And I have massively, massively enjoyed my time. That has been a wild understatement. It's been such a gift to worship with you and to play with you and to play with my kids. And thank you for letting them be here. I'm just super grateful. Here's what I want to ask you. This is not rhetorical. I really want to hear. Do any of you have a superpower that is not very common, like something you're very good at that might be surprising? It can be small, it can be big. One over here? Ping pong. Oh my gosh, ping pong. So is Megan. Maybe you guys should face off. She just told me. Ping pong. I am really bad at ping pong. Anybody else have one? It can even be like emotional. Whistling. In Jesus' name. Prove it. Yeah. Prove it. Prove it, they said. Can you give us a tune? That's a superpower. All right. Wow. She said she can get to the bathroom and lock the door when you get home from somewhere before. Yeah. That's a superpower. That's one that wins. Anybody else? It can be weird. It can be strange. Oh my gosh, you're my queen. She drives a 40-foot bus all around Fresno. I basically play bumper cars with my SUV. It's not my husband's favorite thing about me.
I'm a really bad driver. And I might be the worst driver you've ever met. Yeah.
I ride a unicycle.
She rides a unicycle. That's just sweet too. Maybe back here. I feel like I'm seeing y'all talk about one that you don't want to share, but bring it to me. We got one back here. Superpower. No? Wow, yeah, that's right. Love is a superpower. I love that. Are you a nurse, a doctor? Nurse, man, you're a superhero. We love you. I love it. Okay, I'm going to tell you guys mine. I am a jack of all trades, a master of none. There is about nothing that I'm like really good at. I'm like mediocre to bad at most things, but I can do a lot of things. So I feel like, you know, we're just doing what we can. But there is one thing that I don't mind telling you that I'm very good at. It's just the way God's uniquely made me. And that is, and you might not even know this, and you might not even like grasp it, but I am the most positive person you've ever met. I'm not kidding. Nick, would you confirm? I'm sneaky positive. Like I'm sneaky positive because I'm also a realist. So if my life had a motto, it would be like shoot for the stars, land on the moon. I really hope the best, and I really do believe everything's gonna be great all the time. I really think it's gonna be great. But when it doesn't go great, I'm not defeated. I'm like, well, that's okay. Let's find the silver lining. And it took me a long time to learn this about myself. How I interestingly learned it is the bad side of that is that I have a really hard time letting people have a bad day. Also, my husband could tell you, like, I'm like, really, nobody should ever have a bad day. And if you ask me about one bad day I've ever had, I'm like, I don't know that I've ever had a bad day. Because the worst days have kind of been some great days. And I've seen God's hand move on the worst days, that's not helpful. You should just let people have bad days. So no, people don't always love that about me, but I'm going to tell you about I'm so uncomfortable even calling it a bad day. I had a bad moment of a day a few months ago that I was thinking about it that I wanted to tell y'all about. So my family actually got COVID in August. And we're good, obviously, we're all here, we were all fine, but I got it, and I got it first. I was patient zero in our family and gave it to everyone, and there's some guilt attached with that. Just for me, nobody puts that on me, but we had been very cautious. I had actually been fairly nervous as it goes about COVID. I have an autoimmune disorder, and so I really didn't want to mess around with it, but we were good by the grace of God, and all stayed healthy, but obviously, we were quarantined in our house. And, you know, we had already felt pretty quarantined. But this was now intense quarantine. We can't see anyone. And we just so happened to get COVID, all of us, on my birthday. Right. So the thing is, I love my birthday. Like, I don't care if you love my birthday. I don't care if you celebrate my birthday. I don't care if you get me a gift. Nick, that doesn't go for you. I do care that you get me a gift. Kids, one day, please get me a gift. But I really celebrate it. I'm a girl who lives in the grip of God's grace. Like, I am thankful to be alive. Every year, I just feel like it's a blessing. And so I just take it too far every year on my birthday. I ask God for a word. I ask him for a scripture. I plan my whole day out. I know what I want to eat. And so this year, obviously, it was like, well, that's going to be a little bit different. We don't have a sense of smell or taste, so forget birthday cake. I still ate it, just by the way. I didn't care if I could taste it or not. It felt like the right thing to do. But I was gonna be in my house taking care of my sick people and getting well myself. And everybody, right, when they found out I had COVID on my birthday, were like, oh, and on your birthday. But what's my superpower? I'm super positive, and I find the beauty in everything. So every time somebody would say, like, I'm so sorry you have COVID on your birthday, and I was like, you know what? It's okay. My life means more right now because I'm battling this interesting illness, and I feel the grace of God here in this moment, and I'm going to have a great day. And I did. I had a great day. I woke up. I blessed God for my life. I had good time with him. I think I took a nap. Like, when do you ever get to take a nap when you have four kids and a bunch of work to do? And so I was blessed. I was like, you know what? This is a great day. And the whole day, Nick kept saying, hey, next week, when we're all out of COVID and we're good, we're going to celebrate your birthday. We're going to do it up big. And I was like, we don't have to. I'm so blessed. And he was like, no, we're going to do it. And my man, like, he wants to make my dreams come true. So he's a great guy. And we planned this whole day kind of based around my dreamiest things, which none of you would maybe want to do, but I wanted to go to the nursery and buy a few new plants. And I wanted to test drive a car because, like I said, I'm a bad driver, and I really need a car with those cameras on it. So just for years, I've been saying, like, I need a car with the cameras on it. And Nick was like, you know what? I don't know if we can get the car just yet, but I'm going to take you to test drive a car. That's a good thing we can do on your birthday. So we had all these plans lined up. And it was the day before my fake birthday, my belated birthday. And one by one, our plans just started to crumble. Like, something happened and we weren't going to be able to go there. And then we found out this thing was closed and our childcare kind of fell through. And it was just like one by one, the things crumbled. And every time one got taken off, I was like, okay. And then finally, Nick and I were in the car. We were going somewhere. We had gotten there. We paused. And I realized the very last thing, like, was definitely probably not going to happen. And Nick told me, and so I just said it. I was like, so we're not going here. We're not doing this. We can't do this. And again, my man wants to make my dreams come true. So he's like, it's okay. We'll do it again another day. I broke. I just started bawling. I had kept it together through all of COVID, through all the fear, through the birthday, whatever. And I was like, I can't. I wanted to get the plants and I wanted to test drive the car. And he was like, what do you want me to do right now? And I remember he looked at me and he was like, I don't know what to do. And he was like, what do you need me to do? And I was like, honestly, I just feel like you're not used to seeing me disappointed. I was like, it's been a really long time since I couldn't find the silver lining, but I can't find it. I just wanted to test drive a car. And he was like, I don't know what to do with you right now. I was like, just give me a minute. I'm just disappointed. And he was like, okay, babe. You got a minute? Somehow, by the grace of God, we still went to test drive cars the next day. It was great. God worked it out. We were able to get it done. And we had a great birthday. But around that time, I'm praying over this message. Genuinely, this message. I'm praying over, God, what do you want me to tell the women of God in this season? And he started to download this message for me. And I'm going to tell you honestly, as I walk you through it, as I've taught it, as I've prepped to teach it to you all, I've had to live it out so much more than that one day of disappointment. But I've had to live this message out over the last few weeks to a rude degree, almost rude, God, that you've made me so have to digest this. But I do pray it's a blessing, and I do pray that it sends all of us out well. And here's the deal. We're going to be back in John. And I told y'all we're going to skip around just a little bit. And today we're going to skip around really from about chapter 14 to mostly 16. And I have to just confess to you right off the bat that what's interesting about my Bible is that 13, 14, and 15 of John are missing. I go from 12 to 16, and that is because they're my favorite chapters in the Bible. And somewhere along the way, they just left. They just fell right out. I'm about to lose 12 to 18, and I'm not happy about it. I love these chapters. I love these chapters. I'm going to tell you off the bat why I love these chapters. A while ago, I noticed that I love chapter 15 and 16. It was just some of Jesus's richest, most powerful teaching. And I would find myself constantly in John 15 reading about abiding and the work of the vine. And I'd read chapter 16 and Jesus's teaching on the Holy Spirit. And these just became some of my favorite chapters. But honestly, I don't know when it was. It was a few years ago that I started to kind of take a step back from the scripture and take a step back from the chapters and realize the context where these chapters are. And it changed everything for me. And so what I want to walk you through really quickly is just to remind you of this. John 13 is Jesus celebrating the Passover with his disciples, the Passover meal. So this is where he presents the act of communion to them that we still celebrate today. This is where he washes their feet. These are wildly holy moments. This is where Jesus is betrayed. And then in John 14, they're still there at the Passover meal, and he's giving them just crazy, beautiful words of life about the Holy Spirit and heaven and what's going to happen to them. And it's deep and it's beautiful and it's wild. And then the very last verse of chapter 14, Jesus says, "Get up, let's leave this place." And so what I realized is that these two favorite chapters of the Bible in mine, John 15 and John 16, this wildly deep teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is being given to them as they walk from the Passover meal to the Garden of Gethsemane. And because I'm a visual person, and because I'm a feeler, and because I believe that Jesus is a real, live, living, human, resurrected body, the picture of him giving them these words as he walks to what he knows is his death, the picture of him giving every single one of these wild morsels of truth and goodness and grace and power as he takes step after step from his last meal to his last moments alone with the Father, unpacked it for me in a whole new way. And so if I had time, we would just sit here and read John 15 and John 16 together and picture him walking with them. Maybe, I don't know, like, did he stop at some point and get emphatic? Did they sit down at some point? Because he was like, guys, you gotta understand this. I don't know. I can't imagine. I wanna imagine. But here are a few things he says as he walks. I'm the true vine. My Father's the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you. Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. Further down, as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. I don't call you servants anymore because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I've called you friends because I've made everything known to you I've heard from my Father. Just wild, deep, heavy, beautiful, life-shifting stuff is coming from his mouth to his friends in this poignant pause before things get really dark and heavy. John 16, he finishes out by saying, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world. And then in John 17, he begins praying. Take heart. In this world, you will have trouble. I'm with you. So the words that God began to give me as I thought about those verses, as I thought about that moment of him teaching and him turning to them and saying, take heart, it's going to get heavy. It's going to get dark. I'm with you. I've overcome. I thought about you and I in this year. And I thought about what we've encountered, the circumstances. And I thought about in so many ways how if we will allow it, 2020 can be this incredible teacher to all of us for the rest of our lives, and that we know what it is like to have a plan or have an idea of where we're headed, to be derailed. And in some ways, I think some of us might have responded really well this year, and some of us might have responded not so well this year. And I don't think really the question is like, did you do it good or did you do it bad? But what did you learn from it? And what did you learn about God from it? And do you guys out here in California, do you talk about the first pancake? Y'all know about the first pancake? Any moms know about the first pancake? Some of y'all know. The first pancake's horrible. Yes. The first pancake you make, it's bad. It's a bad first pancake. You gotta throw it out. Nick never makes a bad first pancake. He's the best. I make the bad first 6 pancakes. It's okay, I eat them. They don't need to look good. The first pancake that you make is horrible. And this whole year, I feel like I've been learning like, okay, it's a little bit the first pancake. Like, I've encountered pain and trouble and hardship before 2020, for sure. But nothing so catastrophic as this year. Nothing so wild and widespread and unprecedented as 2020. And so I have this opportunity, we have this opportunity to pause and say, it's not so much like, did we do it good or did we do it bad or do we want to do it better? But what did we learn about God and what did we learn about the kingdom and what did we learn about ourselves as his daughter from this moment? And what do we get to take with us from this mountain, from this time with him? And so I've got 3 very quick things I want to tell you. 3 super quick things that, again, I have had to walk out and live out the past few weeks. The first one is this. God has told me to expect to be shaken. Expect to be shaken. At some point, when you leave here today, one of you is going to stub your toe or get a hard phone call or come home to a little more chaos than you left. At some point in the next few weeks, there's going to be disappointment or failure or frustration. And how we combat this scheme of the enemy that tells us, like, that was a mountaintop experience. You'll never get back those feelings that you had at Hume. Out here, it's just messy and chaotic. How we combat that is that we move into the world expecting to be shaken by the things that happen, but choosing that when we are shaken, we will then put our feet firmly on the rock of Jesus Christ. I don't think the goal is to be so tough and to be so strong that the world doesn't shake us. If this year didn't shake you, you might need to check your compassion. Like, for real, it's devastating. If you've moved through this year with a blind optimism that's like, what's the problem, guys? Everything's gonna be fine. You might not be paying attention. It's rough and it's wild. And to some degree, to be women who have compassion and say like, I can see it, I can perceive it. I can notice other people's pain. I can pay attention to my own pain. I don't believe that it's tough or strong or even godly to ignore pain. But when I am shaken and when I experience my own brokenness and when I encounter trials, I will choose to count them all as joy. I will pause and say, hold on. I learned from 2020 already. What do I want to do when it gets weird? I want to worship. I want to trust. So the first time I preached this message was just a few weeks ago. And I not this exact message, but some of the same points God had asked me to start thinking through. And so I was actually at a college campus, and I gave them this one point. I want you to expect to be shaken. Expect to be shaken. It's really interesting telling a lot of college students that, because they are also very shaken right now. It's a weird time to be in college. And it went well. Everything was fine. I was driving home the next day. Actually, my assistant was driving me, and I got the phone call. I got a phone call from Nick that was devastating and super upsetting for us. And
I was shaken. And I yelled. And I cried. And I put the phone down. And I got really quiet. And I turned to my assistant and I was like, so that happened. So I was shaken just now. She was like, you are. It's okay. What are we going to do next? God, I'm sorry, I was shaken. I'm sorry, I just got so angry. Sorry, I just let offense hit my heart. Sorry, I didn't trust you. Please help me to worship. Please help me to see this from your perspective. Please help me the next time I'm shaken. Amen. I don't think strong women pretend that everything's fine. I think they expect to be shaken, and they stand on the rock of Jesus Christ when the shaking comes. Two, we got to remember the source of our power and equipping. Again, I think another tool of the enemy is to convince us that any fruit or growth that we experience this weekend needs to translate into perfect behavior or exemplified strength or something like that. And we could all have the opportunity to leave and say, like, that's it. I'm going to do better. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to give to Hume. I'm going to serve a little bit more. I'm going to seek God for vision. Whatever that looks like for you. I would imagine that at some point, I'm going to just bet at some point this weekend, you've had a thought like that. When we leave here, I'm going to do this. Maybe it's just like, I'm going to wash my face more. I'm not sure. Maybe your roommate has great skincare. And you've thought like, yep, me too. I'm going to do that. I'm on that train. That's what I'm going to do. Maybe you thought like, I'm going to play ping pong. I'm going to learn that one. I don't know. But I would be willing to bet that in a crowd of this many women surrounded with all these different gifts and strengths and with so much time to pour into God's word and to worship, that some aspirational thought came over you. You thought like, I'm going to do that better. And that's good and that's beautiful that you want to grow. But I want you to remember, I want to remember when I leave this place where the source of power and equipping comes from. And it's not me. You didn't start this thing. You don't have to finish it. You don't have to sustain it. You don't have to hold it together. Not your family. Not your finances. Not your ministry. Not your job. Not your wayward child. God has never asked you to hold it all together. In fact, he has said, hey, in this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to experience weakness and pain and hurt. The great news is, I'm with you. I've got this. Abide in me and I in you. Let's keep walking. Let's keep going. Here's my last thing, because I can't get enough of her. I want to just remind you about Mary Magdalene. And I want to remind you that when you leave this place, not only will it serve you to expect to be shaken, to expect to get the hard phone call, to expect to stub your toe, to expect to have the hard day or get the parking ticket or get the speeding ticket, or get in a disagreement, or maybe even super vulnerably, maybe something God said to you or spoke to you that meant so much to you, something you learned, you're gonna share it with someone and they're gonna speak defeat over it. I wish that wasn't probably true for some of us, but it may be. We can expect to be shaken. We can expect to need to put our feet back on the rock, to put our eyes back on the King. We can remember where the source of our power and our equipping comes from, and it is Jesus Christ alone. He is the author and the finisher and the sustainer and the upholder. In him, all things are held together. And we can also remember, what kind of woman does Jesus use?
What kind of woman does Jesus love? Messy women who need God. Women with brokenness, old brokenness, new brokenness. You don't have to have it all figured out or cleaned up when you leave here. There may be new wounds. There may be new opportunities for healing. There may be new needs that come up. There will be new wounds. There will be new opportunities for healing. There will be new messy parts of our heart, new sins that we become aware of. And he loves us. And he sees us. And he calls our name. And he uses what we've got for his glory, for the good of others, for our joy, for our freedom, for our abundance. You don't have to leave here being tough. You don't have to leave here being stronger. You don't have to leave here being better. You get to leave here being a woman who needs God, who experiences his grace and his power and his mercy. And that's some very good news. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're so grateful that you brought us to this place, to this space, not just physically, but also spiritually. I just want to thank you for the circumstances, for the hardships, for the confusion that we might have come into this weekend with. Because we know that all of those weak and tender areas have been just opportunities. They've just been areas for you to move and grow. And we agree and believe and respond to the truth that you are working all things together for the good of those who love you. So we thank you for the messy parts, the weak parts that still don't feel resolved. We thank you for the tensions that we're heading into. We thank you for the weak places that are waiting for us. We can only say that because we actually believe and trust that you love us and you're going to meet us in those spots. As we move and as we leave, Father, we're asking that you would give us a vision of your kingdom and of your love and salvation that is absolutely unshakable when the circumstances of life shake us. We're asking that you would give us a spirit-empowered remembrance of your goodness and grace and your word and your truth when inevitably we face disappointment or frustration or failure. God, would you help us to remember where the source of our power comes from? We repent for believing that it was ever us. We thank you that we are your workmanship. And in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you have made us into the kind of women that you love and use. That your love is the best thing about us. It's the truest thing about us. That your grace compels us toward you and toward other people. And that you've written this good gospel for us so that we can keep needing you. That we can keep bringing you our mess, our untidy parts, our broken areas, our hidden stuff, and you can keep doing what you do, which is healing and restoring. We love you, Father. Holy Spirit, be gentle and complete. Seal in the work you've done this weekend as we worship. In Jesus' name we pray.